Good morning, all. Good afternoon, whenever you listen to this. Good evening. It's B Dangerous back again with another edition of Dangerous Sports Talk. Yes, you knew another show was coming, and that's a lot of shit to get into. But before we get into any of that, please follow me, your host, on Instagram and Twitter at the B Dangerous. Also follow Dangerous Sports Talk, the Facebook page. Also follow Dangerous Sports Talk on Spotify, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. And we're gonna get right into it. Now, I was debating on what I could actually start off with, but I guess I can go in order according to my notes. So, Ric Flair signs with AEW. Why? Why? Why would you sign with AEW? If you are a wrestling fan, you know that Ric Flair is a legend among legends. And yes, he set the standards for what a wrestler, quote unquote, should be. Okay? He was the man in his time. And I'll never take that away from him. But he said he signed with AEW because he wanted one more match. My only issue is you've had your one more match through my entire lifetime, which is 33 fucking years. When is enough enough? Now, it's not even saying that I don't want to see him there because it will be interesting to see what he's going to do. But after a while, you have to be like, okay, look, it's my time to just sit my ass back, let my daughter do her thing. Because as we know, Charlotte Flair is the woman, and I fucks with her wrestling style. I absolutely do, and I like her. But that one more match should have been done. That Shawn Michaels WrestleMania match should have been your last match. Like, wrestling shouldn't have extended beyond 2008. But that's not for any of us to decide, of course. Because Flair is gonna be Flair, no matter what. If he's in AEW, ECW, CZW, fucking WWE, oh my God, TNA, you know what I'm saying? Like, it does not matter. AWA, literally. So, he wants his one more match, but after this one more match, please sit. Please sit because we tired. I'm fucking tired. Woo. Okay, so this is what everybody is talking about, and I've been anxious to talk about this because not that many people are. But James Harden says he is the Clippers system. And since he has been with the Clippers, they have been 0-4. And the funniest thing is, why are y'all acting so damn surprised? I always call when the Clippers are gonna do some dumb shit. And signing this man here is literally the most Clipper thing that they could have possibly done. Because you take a guy who has been a cancer on every single team that he's been with and think he's gonna make some sort of a difference on a team that you have talent on. But you always self-sabotage and fuck everything up. Especially in crunch time. Damn the fact that you have one Western Conference Finals appearance to your name, as well as two dunk contest wins and 30 years of relevance after that. You pick the man who is never happy with any situation that he's in and always wants a way out if things don't go his way. And there was actually a Dallas announcer when they played the Mavs who absolutely ripped him to shreds. And he said everything that everybody has been saying for years. It's like, okay, you wanted to be with Kevin Durant and Kyrie. Okay, you go to Brooklyn. Then when you guys lose in the second round, they didn't hand you the reins. They gave you the reins when you were the damn point guard. So what the fuck do you think you were supposed to do? They give you the reins. And then you go on a disappearing act like you usually do in the playoffs. Then in Houston, you couldn't get over the hump over there because you wanted somebody, a coach to fit your system. They gave you fucking Mike D'Antoni, who is literally should be the coach you because he is all offense and absolutely no defense whatsoever. Then the NBA rules changed to where you can't fucking always get to the line every time you commit contact. So it forced you to play a different style of game. And you kept playing your style, but you still didn't win shit because you weren't happy with where you were then. So they moved you to the Clippers, which is the worst thing they could have done. And now, you are winless with the Clippers. And the absolute funniest thing is, I don't see y'all talking about this as half as hard as you should be. Because God knows if this was the Lakers. If this was the Lakers, I wouldn't hear the end of it. If the Lakers were 0-4 right fucking now, since they signed him, I wouldn't hear the end of it. Y'all be fisting them day and night. But since it's the Clippers, it's a milder reaction. Oh no, 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 no. Give the rent payers the same smoke that you would have if this were the Lakers. And I told y'all that in my last episode. Give the Clippers the same fucking energy that you would give the Lakers. Because if they're the new team, the new kids in town, fucking prove it. But you can't prove it if you keep doing Clipper shit. But like I said, I'll keep let people keep thinking that I don't know what I'm talking about. Then when things like this happen, they sit there and look like, oh my God, I didn't know this was gonna happen. The Clippers suck. What the fuck did you expect? Literally, what the hell did you expect? When this man gets on any team, he'll be cool as long as he has the reins, as long as he's scoring fucking 30 a game, doing what he does, and getting to the line and getting most of his points there. But the second things start to get tight, and things don't go the way that he would expect them to go, and he wants to be coddled, and he wants this coach, he wants this player, he wants everything to his standards. If they don't meet his standards, he's gonna want out. And like that announcer in Dallas said, he's gonna keep swiping right for a new team, and there's not gonna be anybody there to take his ass. So, hey, that's what the Clippers signed up for. He said he was the system, and their system has been broken 0-4 since they signed him. Good damn riddance. And gotta talk about some Lakers stuff too. So, the Lakers ended up winning over the Suns in the last game. And then they won over the, wait, damn it. They won over the Blazers last night. Last night, AD had another 30 and 13 game that you can feast on like you did that scoreless second half. You got Austin Reaves with 18. You got Cam Reddish with 18. Rui with 19. D'Lo with 11. Also, there's another record that was broken. Another little record that was broken that no one is ever talking about. But hold on, before we even do that, Lafforty has 5,000 career turnovers. Let me repeat that again for you, so you didn't get, so you, in case you didn't understand that, 5,000 career turnovers, and that's being skimmed over like fucking ice. However, when Kobe passed the most missed shots in NBA history record, which literally just passed up, the anniversary of that just passed up like maybe yesterday or the day before, I couldn't fucking turn the TV on or log into my social media without somebody talking about it or somebody clowning it. But just because it's LaTwat, it's silent. If you can fucking blare your horns and fucking beat your chest about him being the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, you can be just as fucking loud for them 5,000 career turnovers. Because you can give him all the glory and the smoke for being the greatest scorer, doing this at 41 years old. He'll never decline and all this other shit. Well, talk about them turnovers, because I'm the person that doesn't avoid anything if you didn't already know that. I'm gonna need y'all to talk about this just as hard as you did when Kobe passed his record of the most missed shots in NBA history. Those 5,000 career turnovers should not go unnoticed either. But as usual, as fucking usual, Nobody sees that. And if we say anything about this, we're haters. No, we're not haters. Talk about them turnovers. If you could talk about everything else, talk about them 5,000 career turnovers. Then we can speak. Also, we got a little bit of injury news. Kelly Oberyn of the 76ers is out with a rib injury after he was struck by a vehicle. And one of his young teammates, hold on, did I or did I not? I can't remember his name right now, so don't quote me on that. So, one of his teammates on the 76ers, can't remember his name for the life of me, scored 50 points in honor of him. And I know Brody couldn't be happy that James Harden is not there because we know that James Harden would have fucking hogged the ball, would have tried to get all his scoring in, and they possibly would have lost that game. And he wouldn't have had that 50. And he said he did it for his teammates, so hey, I can't do nothing but respect that. Also, we gotta talk about some Bulls. They won over the Pistons last night. DeRozan had 29 points. Vooch had 20, 21. Zach with 19. And I wanna say Cody had 11 points as well. And like I said, while the Bulls can be good in some games, there are games that they drop. You know what I'm saying? Like DeRozan and Zach, they're gonna get their numbers or whatnot, but still, you have to be consistent. And the Bulls have not been consistent for a minute now. And plus, I still don't believe in Billy D. I really don't. Even though I like him as a coach, I don't believe in him. And there's actually a video that I saved for watch later, how the Bulls went from being the best NBA team in the league to being the worst. And if you're a Bulls fan, if you've been there forever, you know the exact reasons to why they went from the best to the worst. So I'm gonna watch that game, probably game. I'm probably gonna watch that when I get off of work later on. Let's see, what else we got to talk? Oh yeah, a little bit of NFL news as well. Michael Thomas was arrested for simple battery and criminal mischief charges. They didn't go into details about exactly what happened, and I didn't know if he played last night or didn't. I gotta look it up. But yeah, he's actually one of my favorite players on the Saints. So I always side-eye when they get arrested for doing dumb shit. Because you have all this money. Why would you do X, Y, and Z? Well, you can easily get someone to do it for you. You know, like, ugh. I don't understand the logic of some players that get into trouble. And yeah, I don't get that. Oh, also. So. The now retired and former ESPN employee Paul Pierce said that no one can name five small forwards that were better than him in NBA history. First of all, there were better small forwards when you were actually playing. But since you want to get into there aren't any better small forwards that are better than you, let's get into it. We got Dr. J, James Worthy, Scottie Pippen, KD. And dare I say it, Grant Hill, Le 500. People will probably argue with me, Grant Hill, but listen to me. Listen to me. We know Grant Hill was the man from 1994 to, let's say, 2001. Even though he was injured when he made that 2001 All-Star team, Grant was still a solid fucking player. And even after he fell off and found his place in Phoenix, he was still on All-Star level caliber. Even though he couldn't do the things that he did because his body was betraying him, he found other aspects of his game to still be effective. So, hey, what can you really say about that? Oh, we got Vince Carter in the list. We got, let's see, who else, who else, who else? Hell, Connie Hawkins was better than you in NBA history. I gotta dig deep for this, so please forgive me. Listen, bottom line is, there are players that were better than you, past and present in the NBA. But I don't know what career you thought you had at some point, but you weren't that guy. You were a solid player. You could shoot some threes. I liked you for like maybe the first 3 years of your career. But there was something about him that just never clicked for me. And usually, whenever if I feel like that about somebody, there's always a reason. And this man, Paul Pierce always had an Isaiah Thomas' level of bitterness in him. Because he always talks about what he could have had, what he should have had. And I think that man has, I think LaTwat has a residency in his brain, because he still does not like LeBron. Because he couldn't get past him like nobody could, because he was indestructible. And you had to fucking fly over the wall if you wanted to beat LeBron. But this man is going to remain bitter about what he didn't get for the rest of his life. And that's going to eat you alive, because if Isaiah Thomas could still want an apology from Michael 30 years later that he isn't going to get in life, you're going to keep being bitter about things that you never got. Because he wanted a farewell tour, like Kobe got a farewell tour, and got pissed the hell off when Draymond Green told him that they don't love, the people don't love him like that, and he thought he was Kobe. And it's just funny to me, because I'm like, you thought you had a more legendary career than what you did. Not saying that your career was not legendary, because it absolutely was. When you're secure in what you did in the NBA, you're not worried about what you could have and should have did. Could you or should you have did what you did? Maybe. But take your one ring that you got at the Lakers' expense and shut the hell up. Because if Boston didn't fire on all cylinders in 2008, you wouldn't even had that. And you would have been even madder that you were ringless. So shut the hell up, Paul Pierce. And you could keep the delusions in your head that there aren't any other players that were better than you in a small forward position, but there are other players, other legendary players, that beg to fucking differ. Let's see, what else we got to talk? Oh, shit. The Steelers won over the Packers yesterday, 23-19. And my boy TJ Watt surpassed his brother JJ Watt for second most sacks by a player in the first 100 career games. And the funny thing is, if anybody was going to break that record, it was going to be TJ. Because him and JJ, I believe they played the same position, and they have similar playing styles. And I do believe that if JJ didn't get injured when he did, he would still be playing right now. So, like I said, TJ Watt is literally one of the only hopes that I have on this team. Him and Highsmith are literally the only two players that I have faith in. Because I know they're going to go out there and get the job done. Offense, I'm shook they even got 23 points. But listen, a win is a win. I'm not going to complain about that whatsoever. And probably in the next show, I'm going to cover all the games and talk about the NFL games as well. But I didn't write any of them down, so I can't talk about them today. But the next show, I absolutely will. And let's see, almost 18 minutes. Okay, pretty good time. I may as well get my workout in and then get my ass dressed for work. To you guys that keep running up the listens on my shows, I thank you guys so very much. I don't, like I said, it will never go unnoticed. The show is thriving because of you guys. Y'all keep me going. Y'all keep me motivated. I thank you guys so much, always and forever. As always, I'm B Dangerous. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter at the B Dangerous. Also, follow this very podcast that you're listening to right now. The Facebook page. And on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. And on that note, B is out of here. Peace.